It's a guessing game. It's a guessing game. It's a guessing game. It's a guessing game.
Thank you very much. Well done. Hello, I'm Clive Anderson. Welcome to The Guessing Game. We're coming from the Glasgow Comedy Festival, which is so successful, I think of holding a festival in Edinburgh. The Guessing Game is all about imagination, creativity, and having fun. You win points teams by being funny, fantastic, or if all else fails, by being right. Basically, it's the quiz show for people who think Deal or No Deal is unnecessarily complicated. Taking part, we have a veritable who's who of comedy, or at any rate, a who's available. You might better guess who they are if you need a clue for our first team captain. She's a 4'11" former lawyer. This caused problems when she was called to the bar, but couldn't see over it. You've guessed it, it's Susan Kalman. Now, on Susan's team today is a comic who has lots of experience standing in front of a bored audience, looking very hungover, talking about his personal failures. That's right, he used to be a geography teacher. Rob Rouse. Now, an interesting fact about our second team captain, he's a comedy boffin who used to own a chicken called Beyonce. Apparently it's true. Sadly, he lost Beyonce. He should have put a ring on it. It's Alex Horn.
Hello.
With Alex today is a stand-up who created a comedy night for new mothers and their babies. It was so funny, half the audience wet themselves. It's Lucy Porter. Well, these are our lovely guests, and join us on stage is, of course, our wonderful house band, the Gus and Finn Four. Yes, the Gus and Finn Four, they're the ukulele world's version of the Beatles, because there are four of them and they look half dead. It's the quick fire round. Remember, teams, you score 2 points for each correct answer, 1 point if it's wrong, but it gets a laugh. If it's right and gets a laugh, you share the points with the question setter. So, question one. What does Wayne Rooney have in common with a one-year-old?
Okay. Has the baby had hair plugs?
Babies start off with what I call a perfectly adequate amount of thin hair on their heads. No, I don't seem to worry about it. Yes.
Love
Lucy.
Of grannies.
Okay. I'll give you a point. I'll give you a point for that. We know what you're saying. The answer is a football contract, because a Dutch football team have just signed a one-year-old. What couldn't Alfred Hitchcock see in the bath?
He couldn't see, for a number of reasons, including the fact he was quite short-sighted, but he couldn't see his feet in the bath because he was grossly obese.
Oh, I see where you're going there, but it's another bit of his body, if I can just...
Elbow.
belly button.
Belly button, he didn't belly, have a belly button.
What did
button.
You say?
Belly
what did,
button.
Belly button.
Belly button.
Yes, why couldn't he see his belly button?
Because he didn't have one, because... Just edit the right one in. Because...
No, all right, no, you've already got the right one. He hadn't got a belly button. You get 2 points for that. Well done. But allegedly, he'd had some sort of surgery which had removed his belly button, though he was quite a fat man, so it's possible it had got lost in the folds of... But anyway, that's... all right, there's another question. What links fish and chips, sex fruit, and the number 16 bus shelter?
Saturday night in Glasgow.
Lucy.
Names of celebrity children.
Names of celebrity children. Do you know, I'm going to give you 1.5 points for that, because that's very, very close. They are all names chosen by parents for their children in New Zealand. Sex fruit and fish and chips were rejected by officials, but number 16 bus shelter was given the go-ahead. That can only be where the child was conceived.
There can't be
any other, like Brooklyn. Yeah. They also allowed the names Benson and Hedges for twins. All right, so this is a quick fire round, so I'm going to go quickly or I'll be fired. Who is huge, round, and wanted by police? Huge and round and wanted by police.
I'm thinking the sun as well. I mean, the moon or the sun.
The moon. The moon.
This is not
because
funny.
You're all doing so badly. I'm going to give you 2 points because right. it is the right answer.
What has the moon done? What's the moon done?
I know
wrong?
The story.
You know the story.
It was a little police officer who reported a strange object in the sky.
Yeah.
And now probably is called Moon Boy by his colleagues forever.
He noted as a suspicious bright light in the sky. He followed after. It's in connection with a rather odd habit that some people do called dogging, which I think is walking your dog late at night. But it must be true, it was reported in the Daily Telegraph and the Daily Mail, who did concentrate, I think, on the dogging aspect. But he had to admit eventually to his sergeant that he'd found the moon. All right, OK, so that is the that's the end of the round. And so far, Susan's team, you've done very well. You've got 2 points, but Alex's team has got 6.5 points.
You're wondering now what to do. Now you know this is round two.
Well done. And now we're in the Royal Conservatoire of Scotland. As you may know, there are almost as many conservatoires in Scotland as there are conservatives. We're in this we're in this Academy of Dramatic Art. We thought we'd get a proper actor to do our voiceover and other effects. He's trained in the art of mime, so he's perfect for radio. Welcome, Harry Gooch. Harry, of course, had a small part in The Life of Pi, the film that went on to win 3.14 Oscars. There we are. Now, this round is called Guess the Moment. The guys will play a tune that relates to a famous moment in time. It could be from history, films, politics, or celebrity. Simultaneously, our resident thespian, Harry Gooch, will use his prodigious performing skill to give you some extra clues. And you'll get a chance to deliberate and come up with your best guess. So, Susan, it's your team first, and here we go.
Gloria, Gloria.
Papa, don't preach, I'm in trouble deep. Papa, don't preach, I've been losing sleep. But I made up my mind, ooh, I'm keeping my baby.
I'm gonna keep my baby. My baby. Amen.
Well done. What do you think that's a reference to?
Something to do with the Pope?
I mean, I think these were relatively straightforward clues, but yeah. You've certainly got the right answer. So what's happened in the world of the Pope this year? What's been so remarkable about the Pope?
The old one resigned, which none of us thought... You could. I didn't think it was a resignable... It's not like when I worked at Curry's and went, I've had enough.
Yeah.
There was also a woman pope, though,
at one point, yes.
Which is why they've got that chair where they check. They do.
That's what they told me for this job here as well.
I only just made it as well.
All right, OK, you got your 2 points there. So it was the resignation of Pope Benedict and the appointment of the new Pope Francis. So, OK, question two. So what's Scandal the House Band attempting to glorify through song this time?
There's a message going round in the air. Come from crazy horses riding everywhere.
I think the name of the song was sung a few times there by the band at the end. And, Harry did a good job with an actual horse over there, which was impressive.
He was an actual horse pretending to be a coconut shell. Rather clever double joke there.
I love IKEA meatballs possibly more than I love my own children.
Well, to eat, certainly. Yeah. All our food seems to be full of a load of old ponies.
And nobody cares. Yeah. Nobody really cares.
Don't they care? Does nobody care?
I don't know. Do you care?
You have to remember, though, that in Scotland we eat haggis. So actually, horse meat, it's a step up nutritionally.
With all the controls, do you think they'd at least...
We should eat more horses, to be fair. They're horrible animals. I've never trusted them. They poo on the road. If you're riding a bicycle and hit a horse poo, you're off, aren't you?
Yeah.
If you were like me and simply walked everywhere or perhaps took public transport like any responsible ecological warrior, crazy horses tying it back in, it's OK, no problem. Yeah. Then you'd be OK.
OK.
No, they're just they're too big and strong and skittish. They're too thick to be that strong, horses. Do you know what I mean? They kick your head falls off. They're terrible animals.
We saw this as a run when we sort of condemned the meat and food package industry. No, that's got a whole type of animal.
No, the horses brought it on themselves, Clive.
Yeah, okay, all right.
They've had it coming for
ages. All right, you both got 2 points for that round because you both got the various. So well done.
We've had round one, we had round two. We definitely had rounds one and two. We've had rounds one and two. It's round three.
Yes, indeed, it's round three, and this is a quotations round. For example, when Arnold Schwarzenegger was asked which German composer he wanted to play in a movie, he said, "I'll be Bach." So, Harry... I thought that was a groaner, yes. So, Harry, now you're going to be acting these quotes out. So, what are you going to do? We can have this acted out in character, but it may not be the character of the person who originally said the quote. So this may confuse you. So what's our first quote, Harry?
The opening and closing ceremonies of the London Olympics are mass satanic rituals disguised as a celebration of Britain and sport.
Oh, very, very good accent there. Okay. Yes, sorry, Susan.
Boris Johnson.
Is that just from the accent you were doing?
Just
that
from
one?
The accent. Yeah. I sense Boris.
Yeah.
Was it Danny Boyle in A Frank Admission?
Yes.
Sorry. Clive, I do know the answer to it, but I can't remember.
I'll give the options then. So if you know what it is, you'll know whether it's Charlie Sheen, Abu Hamza, or David Icke.
Yeah, it's definitely one of those three. And I think it's David Icke.
David Icke, you're correct. Yeah. Well done, you see.
Yeah.
Okay, you've got your point for that. Next quote in character, Harry.
I don't intend for this to take on a political tone. I'm just here for the drugs.
Yes, very good.
Is that the Queen?
I see what you're going there, because it's not. She doesn't do political things. Yeah, and it did sound like it, but no, not the Queen.
I'm holding out for these three options, because it gets a lot easier.
It does,
doesn't
it? Yeah.
Well, I can't believe you haven't said Boris Johnson for this one.
She did sort of mime.
I did mime Boris Johnson, but I thought the audience might have got a bit tired, but I'll do it and we'll see if it gets a laugh. Boris Johnson! keep that in.
Yeah. Just the name Boris Johnson gets a laugh in any circumstance. So was it Alex Horn, Silvio Berlusconi or Nancy Reagan?
Was it the chairman of the FA, Alex Horn? Because I share my name with the head of the FA.
That's very good of you.
Yeah, well... there weren't enough to go around. Yeah.
I thought it was... isn't Greg Dyke now chairman of the FA? Or maybe he's the chief executive, I don't know.
Well, if he is, then I will become Greg Dyke. That's the system.
At the time of recording...
Sorry. Yeah. Silvio Berlusconi.
Silvio, you are... When I say you're hot tonight, I'd have to say you're not, because you've gone wrong again with your three options. No, it's Nancy Reagan. I'm not giving you a point for that. I think it's more of a stumble. She came on to... It was a just say no kind of campaign, and she said, I don't intend for this to take on a political turn. I'm just here for the drugs. But when written down, it sounds worse.
Now, I should have known that, because I bought Just Say No by the Green Chill Kids on 7-inch. Just say no, no. Just saying. Yeah. There's some other 80s kids there who've never touched it, right?
Yeah. or for the posh school kids, it's just say no, thank you. now, next quote, Harry, next quote.
All the cul-de-sacs are closed for Scotland.
Okay. So if the cul-de-sac is closed, then the people who live in the cul-de-sac, that's it, isn't it?
Well, all cul-de-sacs are closed at one end. That's very much the nature of a cul-de-sac, isn't it?
Yeah, well...
Or the bottom of a bag, cul-de-sac. For those of us who speak French.
I'll give you the three options. Yeah. This may give you... Who said this? Was it Alex Salmond, Donald Trump or Joe Jordan? Oh, OK, all right. Whoa. One buzzle.
I think Susan's quite keen to buzz in.
Yeah.
It's possibly Donald Trump, just because that's the kind of thing you would say after potentially coming and destroying some of our countryside for a golf course. I don't mean to be political, I'm just here for the drugs. But Donald Trump, it sounds like something Donald Trump might say.
It might sound like that, but it wasn't him. Another of your unlucky guesses. So Alex Salmond or Joe Jordan?
We could go
for one each here and head her up.
Yeah. No, you can't have one here.
Alex Salmond. I think it's Alex Salmond.
Alex Salmond. How extraordinary. We've got a top team of four brilliant people, three options, and you've all got it wrong. It was Joe Jordan. It's a sort of Coleman ball sort of thing. Somebody saying
I'll go
something.
For Joe Jory. I didn't have a guess. I'll go for Joe Jory.
Jordan.
Jordan. I love tennis.
I don't think Joe Jordan does. No, I'm not giving no points there, and let's rush on. Let's rush on to our next round. Oh. I don't even know how that happened. My favourite of the round stings. So round four is called Uneducated Guess. It's a specialist subject round, but unfortunately the teams have no idea what the subject matter is. That's Ooh. The way we're liking it. The house band will play a themed musical backdrop while I ask both teams some questions. Each team will confer, write down their answers, and when the music stops, I'll go over the questions one by one. So it's going to feel a little bit like a pub quiz with some music going on. The specialist subject is agony aunts. These are some genuine questions asked of agony aunts on the internet. Guess what advice the agony aunt gave? Question one, I missed a phone call from an ex-boyfriend I haven't spoken to in over 4 years. Should I call him back? He owes me 20 quid. Question two, my boyfriend keeps telling me things about his day in too much detail. What does this mean? I hope I get this right. I've got to tell my BFF I'm crushing on him major time. I'm worried he might not love me back. What should I do? Now, question four. My boyfriend started cutting his nostril hair, doesn't smell as much as he used to, and goes to the gym. Have my years of nagging finally paid off? Okay, those are our questions. So, I missed a phone call from an ex-boyfriend I haven't spoken to in over 4 years. Should I call him back? He owes me 20 quid.
Just to mediate, that's what this is about, agony aunts, isn't it? I've just come up with a middle route where it's £20 over 4 years. That's £5 a year. I've divided it by 365 a day. We can break that down to 0.037 pence a day if he wants to arrange a payment programme.
Okay. They should put you in charge of Cyprus. You could sort that out, couldn't you?
Make it easier.
Have you any rival possibilities?
I mean, I have to say, if it is a Scottish £20 note and you live in England, then write it off.
There's no point. I'm up here at the moment. I'll go down optimistic with your crazy money. And everyone in London looks at it like, you've got fairy coins.
love using Scottish money in London, especially with taxi drivers. Yeah. Well, that's what I'm giving you. And I'm leaving the cab now.
You work it up. The Clydesdale Bank, to be fair, the Clydesdale banknotes do look like they've been drawn in crayon. Even I, when I get one of them, go, yeah. Oh, now, come on.
Yes, they do take it to the limit, don't they? Yeah. unless you've got another answer that comes in, because what they actually said, call him, it could turn out he's realised you're his soulmate and wants to make it up to you. This happened to me once, and I have now been with my guy for over 40 happy years. Which I think was, in essence, what you were saying,
That's
wasn't
what
it?
We see.
Yes. What about my boyfriend keeps telling me things about his day job in too much detail? What does this mean?
He's secretly a lady.
What?
Yeah. Oh, come on. There's ladies clapping. No.
So what do you think the agony aunt might conclude from that? If somebody who's giving you a bit...
Have gin for dinner, glaze over, and then your whole life will become more enjoyable. Yeah.
So are you giving an answer here, or are you just mumbling about your view, your general philosophy? I don't know.
I think you perfect in a long-term relationship the way of looking at someone like you're listening, but you're actually thinking about something completely different, like, I'm going to miss, America's Next Top Model.
I've done that a lot this evening, just because it's on, isn't it?
I mean, I think it is, in most relationships, you do get to the point where you're not... I don't actually know what my husband does. We've been together for years. I couldn't really tell you in any detail what he does. So I think,
You just don't pay attention, or you're not interested, or...
I barely know him.
Was this an arranged marriage or something like that?
Yeah, she arranged it. Yeah. Otherwise, people wouldn't know where to go.
So the answer we had that was on the internet, he's hiding something. Offering up information about their day is a classic sign. Ask him outright if he's having an affair. So I don't think you really got to that. I thought you might have got... Anyway,
yeah, maybe he's just, being polite.
Number two, he's having an affair.
You wrote it down, but you didn't say it out loud,
yeah,
did you?
Well.
You said about drinking gin and mumbling. It was...
same thing.
All right, you get no points for that, but on paper you've got a point, but unfortunately it hasn't translated into the programme. I've got to tell my BFF I'm crushing on him major time. I'm worried he might not wuv me back. I don't know what wuvving is, but what should I do?
I don't know what BFF is either, is it?
Best friend forever.
I genuinely didn't know that.
Like,
I thought
Lucy Porter's
boyfriend,
my BFF.
Friend.
Lucy Porter's my BFF, eh? You would hope
so that was awkward.
BFF, that's Burkina Faso Football Association. That's completely different. What's the answer?
The answer is, if you really, really, if you're crushing on a boyfriend who's a friend who's a boy, don't try and find out in some other way whether or not he likes you, because you could ruin the friendship, and you don't want to ruin the friendship. If he really is your BFF, you have to make the decision. Do you want to lose the friendship or do you want a romance? Take it slowly. Try and find out in some other way how he feels about you. Don't just launch in there.
Oh, brilliant. That's you've got your point there. It's nothing like what they answered back, which is just so loony that it does. But yours, you should be an agony aunt.
Yeah.
They said, don't worry about your romantic life. You should be worried about the Mayan apocalypse. Take your friend to Les Mis before the world ends. The apocalypse is nigh. So they say the Mayan apocalypse was going to happen last December, I think. Or if you're listening on BBC Radio 4 Extra 3 years ago. So anyway, my boyfriend started cutting his nostril hair. Doesn't smell as much as he used to and goes to the gym. Have my years of nagging finally paid off?
He's having an affair. Yeah.
Yes. Okay, you're spot on there. I'll give you 2 points for that. No, he's cheating on you. Check his phone more when he's not looking and start gathering evidence. So I think you've got that. So let's see where the scores... Has that made any difference to the scores? It certainly has.
No.
Alex's team, you're still on 9.5, but Susan and her teammate have shot up to 9.
Wow.
So this is... Right, now, this is a great round. This is the audience participation round. Guess my story. We've scoured local newspapers to find amusing, interesting stories and invited the people involved to come and share them with us. There's a story here, for example, in the local paper, a man whose hat blew off in Socky Hall Street. There's interviews with witnesses, pictures of the hat, and a link to a Daily Mail article which blames it all on the BBC. But we've got a much better story than that. Is there a Marion Finlayson in the audience? Would you make yourself known? Well done. So now we've taken Marion's story and distilled it down to 3 bullet points. She's going to read the first bullet point out, finishing with a line, "Can you guess my story?" And that cues you team to buzz in and attempt to guess the rest of the story. If the team buzzes in and guesses the story correctly after the first bullet point, I'll give them 5 points. If you don't get off the first bullet point, there'll be a couple more, but the longer it takes, obviously, to get the answers, obviously, the fewer points you'll get. Your teams can confer throughout the round. So, Marion, can I ask you to... tell us the first part of your story.
Having worked happily for many years as a primary school teacher in Aberdeen, back at the school where I was actually a pupil, I suddenly found myself thrust into the limelight in a very different sort of role. My story involves a sudden, and you might say surprising, career change. Can you guess my story?
Oh, yes.
Were you the... No, that... the person who jumped out of the spaceship, you know, back from really high up. Were you that one? Were you...
Oh, that would have been fantastic if you got it from that. That would have been.
Are you the current UFC champion?
Okay. Marion, okay. If you give us your next bullet point. Right.
This all came about after I'd been performing in my new role, really just for fun, now and then as a hobby.
I'll ask you again, are you the UFC champion?
Now, why do you think it's going to be right now? We've had more information.
classic ways of how you get spies to crack your ass in the same thing three times.
You're just you're battering.
I'm trying to get some of the aura. I'm being Derek Acora. I'm trying to get some of Marion's aura.
She looks like you look very much like Honor Blackman. Are you an Honor Blackman impersonator?
Are you an Honor Blackman impersonator? Well, I'd have to say it's not right, but at least you're edging towards the right sort of area.
Ooh. Very stylish. Are you a model?
Are you a model? Well done.
Oh,
you're
really?
Absolutely spot on. So I'm going to give... I think you get 3 points for that because you came in after about 2 clues. So just explain your story because it's a fascinating one, Marion.
All right. I did some modelling when I was a student, and that was 60 years ago because I'll be...
don't believe that, Marion.
Well, I'll be 81 on Wednesday.
81 on Wednesday, well done. Wow.
I'm not entirely sure, but I think I'm the oldest model in Scotland. Yeah, I got involved with the Over 55 Festival in Aberdeen, and they produced a brochure with Twiggy on the front and me on the back. Yeah. And then I did a fashion show, and I was contacted by This Morning, and I went on that show with Eamon Holmes.
Yes. Oh, well, you obviously look much better better than Eamon Holmes does. So
I've had a lovely time. I've thoroughly enjoyed it.
And you're pursuing this career in, as a model, as you say, you're the oldest model in Scotland.
So I believe.
Yeah. Oh, well, thank you very much, Marion. You're
fabulous.
Thank you. Thank you for sharing your story. I think in some ways you made it too easy by looking so elegant and model-like that even Rob could work that out at a glance. So, but anyway, thanks to Marion for telling us your story. And I now see these are the final scores, aren't they? And it has been an exciting turnaround because Alex's team went way ahead with 9.5 points after about round two, and you're still on 9.5 points, having failed to score. Yeah. Whereas Susan with Rob have won with 12 points. Well, that's all that remains. All remains to thank all my guests today: Lucy Porter, Rob Rouse, team captain Susan Kalman, and Alex Horn, and our resident thespian Harry Gooch. Not to forgetting our house band, the Gus and Finn Four. You've been listening to, or you've just tuned in and just missed The Guessing Game, the show that put the joy into. Well, I didn't enjoy that. This is me, Clive Anderson, saying goodbye. Goodbye.
This episode of Clive Anderson's Guessing Game was written by Michael Beck, Kieran Nicholson, John McGlade, Owen Cooper, Jim Felton, Chris Conroy, and Jerry McKelvey. It was produced by Margaret Ann Doherty.